Welcome to Unlocking Adventures, the podcast, where we talk about all things Disney and traveling for all those stressed out parents so that your traveling is not as bad. So I'm Lisa Kay.
I'm John Kay. And are there any unstressed parents out there?
I mean,
is that a thing?
I mean, we are not unstressed parents, but I imagine there are parents who don't want to rip their hair out every day.
What's their secret?
They are well adjusted.
Okay.
So we are not, I guess.
Nope.
But yes, yeah, so today we just came back from a adults only trip to Disney World. So we're going to do a little bit different.
Let me reiterate. Today we are discussing the adults only trip we came back from. We did not come back today from the adults only trip.
Whatever.
We've been back since Tuesday.
Okay, fine. Maybe I'm just still living.
Are you sure you still want to do a podcast with me?
You're so mean to me. I think I'm just living in the bliss that was us being on vacation.
Fair point. All right.
And then we jump back into the real world.
This is incredibly true, yes.
Yes. So mm-hmm. We did a quick trip, just adults, just parents, just so we could see what it's like. I've done it before.
Yeah, three nights, yeah.
It was three nights, yes. I've done it before without John. So now we did it with John so that he can experience a childless Disney World trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So
yeah,
we thought today we'd kind of talk, break down kind of all the stuff we've done, right? So
yeah.
How did you feel about the trip overall?
So ironically, we didn't have kids with us. So it was just you and I flying. We used Spirit, which generally is super bare bones. Buy your plane ticket. You don't need all the other stuff. It's a la carte, but it gave us a great seat selection. So we actually did sit next to each other. But ironically, we didn't bring our kids. And we were still seated next to or around a family that kept switching a seat next to us.
Right.
And basically was the epitome of how a flight is with a kid. Mom, dad, mom, dad. And I sat there like listening to Netflix because I was smart and downloaded stuff ahead of time. And was just thinking, so this is what it's like to be like people who don't have their kids and then hear the conversation go, so that's what it's like from the outside.
Well, and that's why I always think going to Orlando, if you've never traveled before with your kids, you've never flown with your kids before, flying to Orlando from anywhere is the easier option than anywhere else, because typically most of the people on that plane are going to have kids and they're all going to Disney and they're all crazy. There was a baby crying or multiple babies crying on the trip. There were people, children running in the aisles. So I feel like it's easier to not be as stressed out when you have kids if that's the flight you're taking.
Like, oh, sure.
Because your kids are a disaster. They have to be strapped in. For us, it's only 3 hours, but there are some people flying from far away.
True.
And it's horrible for 3 hours. Mm-hmm. We've got it down to a science where we have their tablets set up, they're watching movies, they're doing all of this, but you're still expecting them to sit still for 3 hours, and they're little.
And that's the parent hack right there, is that the guy who was originally sitting next to us was the dad of two kids, and he was looking. I was watching a Netflix show that I downloaded all the episodes for, and he goes, wait, the Wi-Fi is not free. How did you get those? I was like, oh, I downloaded them ahead of time, and he said, oh, smart. I'm like, yeah, I think about this ahead of time. This is the kind of stuff, and you do the research, and you go, all right, Spirit Airlines, blah, blah. Oh, there's no free Wi-Fi.
Right.
All right, I better download something.
And that's a big thing to look at for any airline, is what the amenities are. So
true.
We took a low fare budget airline
because it was just you us. And me. Yeah.
And we basically picked, oh, there's a cheap flight, let's just do it.
No checked bags, no carry-on bags, just personal,
we had a
backpack
quick trip.
And a duffel.
Yeah. So we had we went to the backpacks. There's no in-flight entertainment, so you're not getting a TV, you're not getting even radio.
Literally the first one going down was literally the smallest seat tray that I've ever seen.
It's like half tray.
They basically made it so you couldn't have snacks
there's
on
not,
it.
They don't even give you water. There's no snacks. There's no nothing. So
well, it's not that there's none. You have to buy it all.
You pay for it.
You do have to buy
it. We didn't even look at the cost. So we were smart and we ate lunch in the airport, and then we filled our water bottle up in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So you can bring that on the plane, and you can bring snacks on the plane too. So, just check in with, what the regulations are. But, yes, and with our kids, we do the same thing. Because, even if you get free snacks, I remember the snacks sometimes don't come out right away and all of that, and so I always just pack snacks anyway.
Very hard to time a toddler yeah. or a 5-year-old's stomach.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it was the same thing when Gregory was under one and he wanted a snack.
Yeah.
So I just pack my own, and then, you know, all mm-hmm. of those other things. And you're dealing also with their ears popping. That's a whole other thing. Okay.
But the flight was, flight was fine. Flight landed. Fine. Ubered it down to, it Uber was so easy.
Nice to take an Uber and not have to worry about car seats and all. You have to pay for the transportation when you get to the airport and you go to Disney. So I just liked not having to deal with, like, okay, we have to get an Uber that has 2 car seats. That's so hard. Or we have to
make sure. It's complicated. Yeah. We've looked it up.
Yeah, or we booked a bus in advance or one of those other things.
The bus was fine, but yeah, you do have to do it in advance. Yeah.
So, you know.
Uber was fine with 2 adults. Even the guy had popped a trunk and it was like, oh, you have, okay, no luggage.
Very quick trip, which was nice.
Check-in went really smooth. There was nobody else there.
Right.
So we just walked up.
Well, we chose to go to the front desk to check-in, which I actually recommend everybody go. You can do mobile check-in, which is very fast and convenient. I think it's really good if you, like, come in very late, or if you're planning to go to a park. I like to go to the desk because usually you can ask a lot of questions if you're not sure where anything is very easily there, and sometimes they can upgrade you, or if you decide, sometimes if you're nice, or if you decide that, you know, oh, well, we really prefer a ground floor room, which
they can look into it.
And when we're with kids, I 100% always want a ground floor room.
Well, obviously.
Because that, lugging that stroller up those stairs is horrible.
And spoiler, we went to Coronado Springs Resort.
Yes, Disney's Coronado Springs.
Spoiler alert, if you are someone that likes all the hidden Mickey stuff, so when you get there, you walk through the front doors. It's Grand Destino Tower now is where all the check-in is. Right. I heard stories from a few of the cast members that it used to be elsewhere. Now that's the check-in.
Right.
So when you walk in the front doors, the majestic front doors, check-in's on your right. So if you go all the way to the end of the check-in desks, there's great looking, like, it's wall art there, basically. There's a hidden Mickey, tucked in there. It's one of the few I found, but we were there for a little bit checking in. I went, oh, there it is. Look at that. And there weren't any other ones, like, down the rest of the way because I looked. Like, ooh, sweet.
I love looking for the hidden Mickeys everywhere. When we were in Galaxy's Edge, I was like, ooh, I wonder if this one's. I wonder if this is one.
Right? But there was a check-in was smooth.
It was so gorgeous.
Now, I will say that because I'm married to you, because you do this level of research, therefore I do this level of research, I look into all the different reviews and stuff, right? So Coronado's main hit on it was 2 things. One, it's buses to go everywhere, which you can say that about basically anything from Coronado.
I thought you were
going to
say hits is a positive, not a negative.
No, hits are bad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
In my mind, my hits on things are bad.
I was thinking, like, greatest hits album.
No. My positives. That would be my thing. But my hits on the place. So, or people are saying, like, these are the negatives.
Right.
So it's buses everywhere. But basically anything south of Coronado is buses everywhere anyways.
Well, you're in the Animal Kingdom area, so yeah.
Weirdly,
so, like, all the All-Stars.
Even though you can see the back of Galaxy's Edge, and you can see the fireworks
from Epcot.
It's the Animal Kingdom area, air quote.
Right. Well, and I looked on the map, and I could kind of see why it was the Animal Kingdom area, though.
It's closer.
But, I mean, I think, so, yes, that is a hit. What was the other hit you said?
So the other,
or
so,
a negative.
Right. The negative was buses everywhere, which, whatever.
You can get on that.
The other negative that I read the most about, it kept coming up the most, was walking.
Yes.
Amongst the resort, because you've got Grand Destino Tower, Ranchos, Casitas, and Cabanas as your locales. Ranchos is the furthest away from Grand Destino. However, according to the bartender downstairs in the main lobby, he said it was doubly worse when Grand Destino Tower wasn't there. Check-in was in El Centro, which is where all the food and stuff is.
Yeah.
They didn't have that bridge.
Oh,
that
the three
spanned
bridges
the river, because,
that goes to
or river,
three,
sorry, lake.
Goes to the Three Bridges restaurant.
Right, that wasn't there, apparently. That's newer. So now that it's there, it's a little bit easier rather than having to walk all the way around Cabanas and Casitas to get to Ranchos in the back, which is where we were.
Right, so we were in Ranchos. I think the walking was annoying. I will say that that was a negative to me, was the walking. With kids, I don't think I would have wanted to stay there because it was so far for us. Now, if we were staying in Grand Destino Tower,
That's different.
Grand Destino Tower is beautiful. It's an elevator to your room. You don't have to go anywhere. The food is right there.
Yep.
But to go from Ranchos to try and get to get quick service in the morning just wasn't going to happen. What I did like about Rancho's, though, was positive of where we were staying was, besides the room was gorgeous, the resort was beautiful. It was an oasis. Agree with that.
Very much so.
It was hardwood floors. The beds were great.
Yeah.
I really liked that Three Cup of Heroes everywhere.
Yes.
Was that we were really close to that bus stop. And
yes.
I felt like that bus stop, I think it was like the first bus stop.
It was the first or the second, which is weird because on the map and on the sign
it's bus stop number three. But it wasn't the like last bus stop, which you would feel like. So I think compared to like Caribbean, which has so many bus stops.
Bare minimum five, probably more than
and
that.
And if you're not in the preferred room, the area right in the front, you're not getting on those buses usually. Like if you're in the...
In a crowded environment.
Yeah. No. So I didn't feel like we weren't going to get on a bus at all, ever.
Every bus we got on, we were literally one of the first 10 people on the bus.
Yeah, even at night, honestly, when we were coming back, even though the buses were crowded at night...
We were usually one of the first ones on, yeah.
So I don't have a problem with that. Obviously, I dislike that there are buses everywhere, and I dislike the fact that I just missed a bus when I was going to Epcot.
Yeah, you posted your reel all about it.
Well, it was like 20 minutes for a bus.
Well, they advertised that, though, basically.
It only took 20 minutes, though.
Right, but when you look it up, it tells you the buses run like every 20 minutes. So it's not like it was a grand surprise or anything like that, you know?
But it was, I'm used to being able to either walk or get on the Skyliner. So this was, this is a huge shift if you are used to that.
Spoiled.
Shut up, you like that too. Now, I will say, if you're not planning to spend a lot of time at the parks, it's a really nice resort for that. I think it has a lot of adult Amsterdam. I didn't see too many kids there when we were there either.
Well, there's an easy way to, like, I told you this while we were there, and it was kind of reconfirmed when we got back and we're like discussing it post-stay. You can kind of tell what resorts are, quote-unquote, a little bit more kid-friendly. Mm-hmm. Mostly due to, like, the pool, for example. Like, if the pool's got a nice splash zone, then it's good for kids, obviously.
Yeah, like the French Quarter.
French Quarter had a really good one. Even Grand Floridian had a decent one. Polynesian we looked at from a distance and saw that.
I think that the French Quarter one was probably one of my favorites.
That one was a really good...
It was big. It was really big.
Coronado Splash Zone is legitimately... I didn't look at the depth. I'm going to say it's 1, maybe 2 feet.
Yeah, it was very probably small. Probably 1.
And it's got like a fountain in the middle.
But the playground was huge.
The playground was huge.
It was a much nicer playground. It was under like construction the second day. Third day we were there. You were golfing. But it was a really cool playground. It had a lot of tube slides and a lot of fun things like that. But yeah, I agree. And it was one slide. So, I mean, not that it was a bad slide.
Fun.
Yeah, we had fun. And I think, that it was weird to be on the biggest hot tub in property. It was a 20-person hot tub. That was a little weird. I was intrigued, and then I was kind of like, this is a big hot tub. Like, other resorts have more than one hot tub, too.
Right, so you can kind of spread out.
Yeah. And I know we're talking a lot about negatives right now, but, like, the other negative I had was that, so the main pool doesn't open till 10. So then I was going to go to the other pools, which, the quiet pool, but then our pool closed.
Which
so
we
I had to,
sort of knew?
Yeah. They announced it or whatever, but then we had to walk. I had to walk all the way to that one morning to the other pool. And then when I got there, they were cleaning it. It's not horrible, but it's just like kind of, okay. And I just felt like it was far, so it was a lot of walking. We talked about that. So
the couches do not have good luck with pools on vacations. The Vegas vacation where our pool was closed for the season. The adult ones, yeah. Where the pool we were staying at was closed and they said go next door and then
we
were emergency repairs, quote unquote. You're like, ugh.
But it was still nice. It was a nice pool. It was warm. It was definitely heated well.
The pools, yeah.
And I did really like the pool bar. I got that pina colada there, which was so good.
That's right.
So it was nice. And I think the room itself was really nice, really elegant.
The room was very
nice. We mentioned it, that it felt like there was a lot more like space on the desk or the dresser, so we could
And
the closet was so tall.
The closet was very tall. It felt like if we had the kids with us,
it wouldn't have been a problem.
It wouldn't have been a problem because there was more space to spread out the crap. Because that's what you have when you have kids is crap.
It felt like there was more space than when we were at Caribbean.
That's what I was going to reference was, because that was really just a dresser, and then there was no desk.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy to run out of space on that with all the stuff.
So I definitely like that. And I will say the food was really good.
Yeah, so all of the... So El Centro contains kind of your...
Like the quick
general
service
like
stuff,
quick service and like walk up, and there's a whole bunch of like stuff on display. The 16th floor of Grand Destino Tower is where Toledo is, which we ate at, which was really good. Spanish
tapas,
very good. And then across the hall from it is the Dahlia Lounge, which the Dahlia Lounge has the outside like
and
terrace.
So
you can
watch
go
the fireworks.
You can watch the fireworks, which
the
we got
Epcot
a great,
fireworks.
The Epcot fireworks, right. Because we got a great view of them, because they go off at 9 generally, but nothing happened because of the weather. So a bunch of people just split.
Left. Yeah.
And then we were up there with some other people, and they suddenly just started going off. We're like,
right.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool.
You don't get the music or anything, but it's cool to see them.
We still see
them.
Yeah, exactly.
The views were really nice. And I think the food was phenomenal.
The food was very good.
We had such a good time just kind of relaxing. It was such a good relaxing atmosphere. I will say, with the kids, there was a lot of exotic food that they're not going to eat.
That's very true.
In that area, so that was really nice to have that kind of time to ourselves. I really like the elevators, because the elevator is it's so weird. When you're on the outside of the elevator, you kind of type in where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So like, we were going to Toledo's, and
it's
not like you press the up button. It's just like, go to elevator one, and it just goes straight up.
Okay, I was wondering where you're going with that.
I think it just felt fancy.
It did feel very fancy, yes.
Yeah, but so there are definitely a lot of positives. I think if you're gonna have like not a lot of time in the parks, and it was just adults, and you were just kind of hanging out.
Coronado's a great spot.
It's definitely a great spot. There was a couple of events happening, because it's the convention center.
Was there? I didn't notice.
Yeah, there was like private events and stuff in
the
Central.
Oh, those signs. Yeah.
But it was still nice. I disliked that you couldn't mobile order quick service there. I have no idea what was happening, because at every place else, I wanted to mobile order Mickey waffles, I could do it. And I could not mobile order any breakfast while we were there, so... So we had the Joffrey's coffee in the room, but the other negative was, in every other resort I've been at, we could get like the non-dairy creamer, the little creamers.
Oh, right.
I would go at quick service or whatever, I'd be like, hey, where, you know, the international lights are non-dairy and all of that, and they don't have that there.
Yeah.
And maybe they just ran out of it.
So it
was kind of a bummer for me. Since I have to have the non-dairy ones, I had some black coffee in the room, but then I didn't have any, like, I couldn't get breakfast, I couldn't order coffee, I couldn't do anything, because we had to get to the bus so early, and to go all the way back to El Centro to get anything, because that's where all the food
was. Well, that's the thing, so like that, when main lobby Grand Destino, where the check-in is, there's two sets, like, beautiful staircases going down.
Oh my gosh, it was gorgeous.
There's a half moon, I'll call it a half moon, because that's the shape it was, bar, which...
They had the Spanish coffees and stuff.
Spanish coffees and stuff, but they also had general coffee that you could get at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
that's
but
the
I'm
thing.
Not gonna, you know, we had to be on the bus by 7, or that's what we wanted.
Yeah.
There was no way I was going to be able to get all the way to El Centro, get a coffee, and come back in time. I guess if we had gone to the front bus stop, that could have worked.
Yeah,
you
could have.
You know, so if we had planned a little bit better, but I would just assumed I was going to be able to mobile order, and I couldn't. Which was a little disappointing to me.
Really, what you would have to have done in a case like that is just be camped out at like 6:25 at the place, like, all
right,
come on 6:30, and then grab your stuff and shoot on back.
So that involves a little bit more planning, when I'm so used to being able to be like, oh, I'm going to mobile order some waffles or whatever, and then go.
Well, the funny thing about that, too, and so, like, because I just went on a golf trip recently where at the resort, breakfast didn't open until 8:30.
Oh yeah, you were saying.
And you're trying to like golf at like 7, and you're like, well, no breakfast then, I guess, let's go off site. So, as you mentioned, I golfed at like the Lake Buena Vista golf course, which isn't that far from Coronado either. And again, same thing, there's only coffee in the room, but we hadn't been restocked yet, so I was like, well, I'm not going to leave you with a decaf, because I know what could happen in a case like that.
Yes.
So, but me, I can function in the mornings a little bit longer before the caffeine hits needed. So you got to the golf course and all that. There's a little cafe there. And they were like, oh, yeah, the cafe is open. I'm like, wow, it's 5:55 in the morning. And they were like, yeah, $2 for coffee. Like, sold, done.
Right.
But, like, it's, like, 5:55 in the morning. So when you have, like, the resort, it's, like, not open until 6:30. You're like, you're like a convention center. You know people wake up earlier than 6:30.
But you would imagine that the convention centers have, like, private. Like, I've done to a lot of conferences, and they usually have private service.
Yeah.
So I'm also wondering, based on the fact that it was so easy for us to get onto a bus in the morning, if this is not a hotel that people intend to rope drop from. Because we rope dropped, and there was never an issue getting on the bus. And we were there at Parks until they closed, and we never really had an issue.
Can I just say, like, maybe this is jumping slightly ahead. We rope dropped Hollywood Studios and basically had the easiest rope dropping session ever.
It's true.
We got the rides we wanted via Lightning Lane and individual Lightning Lane the way we wanted. And like, for all the horror stories you hear about rope drop and all of this, it was like...
What horror stories are you hearing?
I feel like I always read about how, like, rope drops are a nightmare because everyone's all packed in. And so, this is just what people write.
I feel like
write.
You don't rope drop properly.
I'm talking about what other people are writing down, you fool.
Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true.
I read multiple reports about it. But yes, true. And people tend to conflate things a little bit.
Well, you also have to think about, I would say rope drop is a lot harder when we're with the kids versus being just us.
Well, because you're thinking that's two additional bodies. You've got to get up and out of the room.
Two additional people. And Abigail needs her breakfast. So we got to make sure they eat with whatever we have, and then it's getting on the bus or getting on the Skyliner with the stroller.
She's going to be a nightmare when she gets to coffee age. Because you know it's going to be just like you.
It's going to be me.
Anyways, but yeah.
And then you have to get, you have to deal with the bag. Like, luckily we don't have diapers anymore, but we had the diapers, we had the formula at one point, and all of that. We had to make sure we had everything. So getting out of the room, I mean, when they were babies, we couldn't even get out of the house on time. So...
Well, and that's where that Lightning Lane stuff comes in handy, that it opens at 7 for resort guests. So that way you can kind of plan it out and be like, all right, we don't need to necessarily rope drop. We've grabbed the rides we wanted.
Right, but rope dropping does help, especially when you stay on site because you get those 30 extra minutes. Well, we were able to get, when we were with the kids, we were able to get in early at Hollywood Studios, I remember, in February. And we rope dropped Mickey and Minnie, and even though the ride broke...
But then it turned into a whole bunch of, like, Lightning Lane opportunities, yeah.
But we were able to get on that, and then we ran right over to Toy Story Arabia. So, yeah. And we got right on that. Slinky Dog was already too much.
Everyone has their, like, chosen spots, so it's easy to kind of pick and choose. Well, like, so for example, when you and I did it, we got to the bus was already there, which was something they said at the front. No, it wasn't already there. It came.
No, yeah, it wasn't already there.
But it was close to 7, which was a little bit earlier than we thought it was going to get there, because the front desk can't tell you for certain what time. They can be like, well, you might get lucky and it'll be there. So we're getting on the bus. We're basically sitting there waiting for... And the people across us are doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah. We were on the bus before 7 because it turned 7 on the bus to purchase the Lightning Lane.
So you were working on Guardians and I was working on Rise.
Vice versa.
Or was it vice versa? Yeah. All right, so I grabbed Guardians.
We also had to park hopper. So so we had 2 days of parks while we were there, and we decided to hop.
Yeah.
Which is also another thing I'm not sure we would do with the kids either. We go back and forth about it a lot.
Yeah.
Maybe now that they're older. When they were little, no.
No.
But yeah, so that's like definitely a key, I think, is when we were on the bus at 6:55, we were like, okay, we're ready to go. Phones out.
Coffee's in hand.
Yes. Someone's getting Rise. Someone's getting Guardians. And
which
then
we did.
Whoever gets what first, then they book the first Genie Plus Lightning Lane, which we also purchased. So we also made those decisions because it was a quick trip and there was only two of us. We were going to buy all these things because Genie Plus was $15 a person per day. So we only had 2 days and two people. And
that's not that bad,
all the rides were between 11 and 17, the lane. So, you know, I think it's... because now it's 4 people for how many days you stay and all that, so it's just evaluating the price difference.
Well, then it was like the best case scenario. So like we grabbed like an 8 something Rise or 9?
835
Rise. Now, I will jump ahead and say we were in line and made it through the first part of the actual queue and the actual like ride experience before they were like, ah, crap, it's already like screwing up, we had to get out of line, but they gave you one of those like return whenever sort of things, whenever it's fixed, but you just check the app and wait for that star to disappear and have like an actual time there. So you were grabbed that at 8:35. We grabbed Guardians post 2 o'clock
because we had to hop there, so it was like 2:30 I think for Guardians, right? And then as soon as we did that, we booked Millennium Falcon
for 10:30 something, yeah. So that was still available. But the best part about all that, because this is all digital. Everything was being done on the phones. Meanwhile, So you envision Hollywood Studios, you make it through security, and you're standing in line where they're going to do the scanning of your magic bands or your tickets or whatever. And I think we were like 10 people deep in our line,
not
maybe.
Even.
No, I think it was like, okay, 7 or 8, whatever, it doesn't matter. But like, we were close to the front of our particular ticket line. And then, like, kind of out of nowhere, because everyone was, like, kind of waiting for 8 o'clock, but it was, like, 7:45, 7:50, they suddenly just let people in. You're like, oh, sweet.
I think that was my favorite part, was being able to, like, walk through Hollywood Studios when, like, no one was there. And we did not go to Galaxy's Edge, right? So Galaxy's Edge.
Well, that's what I was going to say, yeah.
Oh, sorry. Everybody went to Galaxy's Edge.
Or Toy Story in the same general
direction. Right, or
direction,
Toy Story Land. And we were like, well, you know, we already got Rise, we already got Millennium Falcon. Let's go do something else. And we did skip a lot of Toy Story Land this time because we weren't with the kids.
That's
not
more
that
their,
we dislike it, but...
It's more their thing.
I like Slinky
it's
Dog.
It's more enjoyable with them, though, because watching their faces and
right.
all that.
But yeah,
I
like Slinky Dog Dash, and Toy Story Mania is fun.
Yeah.
It hurts my arm after a while, though.
yes.
But, yeah, so I think I liked being able to walk into Sunset Boulevard.
With nobody there. You've got... You and I think, have... photos and videos of just it looks like we were the only ones let in besides like maybe a couple dozen other people,
right?
And
we were like third in line for Rock and Roll
well
Coaster.
Yeah, because they set up two lines once we saw it and we got down there. It was a Rock and Roll Coaster on the left, Tower of Terror on the right, which, for the record, props to any cast members that like stick to their characters and stuff. There was a guy in the Tower of Terror like costume just kind of casually walking up to people and just standing next to them creepily.
Oh,
like you would expect them to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were like, I think that we were person 6 and 7 in the line or
maybe,
something
yeah.
like that for Aerosmith, which slowly moved up. Then there was an issue initially, but it didn't last long.
But I would like so we got in probably like before 8, like we said, when we were in line.
Yeah.
If you watch behind us, though, as it got closer and closer to 8, because that's when we were allowed to be in. That's
when you saw the more people show up.
We saw the big line of people. So getting there that early really did help us. The negative was that Joffrey's does not open until 8:30. So I was...
Weird scenario.
I was living on...
You were struggling.
My one cup of black hotel coffee, and I needed another coffee.
But what did you discover from Joffrey's, by the way, that you actually enjoy?
The pumpkin?
That's one of the things, but that's not immediately what I was thinking of. Refreshers.
Oh, yeah, we had the refreshers everywhere.
Because they're different in every single part.
We just had to try them.
Lightly caffeinated with
whatever strange flavors. I equate it to the first time you went to Disney World with me, and anytime you saw something in the shape of Mickey, you had to eat it.
Well, of course, yeah.
So, like, anytime we saw a refresher, we're like, we haven't had that one yet. We have to have that one.
Right, because we rode Aerosmith, got off, and those were open.
Right, it was
so
awesome.
We were like, yes,
we went right over to the Joffrey's that's by Tower of Terror.
And so...
But I was so upset that they didn't have the pre-show for Rock and Roller Coaster.
I almost wonder if... And I'm just guessing here. I have no clue. I have no insider information or anything. I almost wonder if they saw how long the line was and said...
No, they wouldn't do that. No, they wouldn't do that.
There was
maybe...
stuff like when you walked through, you could see them in the background, like the Aerosmith thing in the background, but it wasn't doing the
audio. Why would you?
Audio.
I don't know. Maybe they.
I don't know.
They stopped doing pre-shows during the pandemic, but then they started doing them again. I guess maybe they just don't do it there. I don't know.
It's possible.
The ride doesn't really make as much. Not the ride is, you know, that it doesn't make as much sense without the pre-show.
Well, without the explanation for why you're going so fast,
right?
Otherwise, it's just another roller coaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was great to rope drop that and be like in the very first train of people.
Well, and it was nice to be able to ride it because neither of our kids are tall enough to go on it. So we never get to go on it.
48 inches, yeah, exactly. But then, of course, like I went to Rise, got halfway through, ran into an issue. Everyone had to leave, which was fine because then they told you, like, they scanned your magic bands or tickets and said, hey, listen, come back. Once it's open again, you can come back anytime, Lightning Lane. Great, okay, awesome.
So instead of... telling every single second of our days.
I was just explaining Rise because I hadn't been on it before.
I know. Rise is cool. So that's what I wanted to get to. So we did eventually get to ride Rise.
Yeah.
This is the first time you did it.
Yep.
So tell me about it. What you thought when it worked.
The entire experience is pretty cool. They've gone really in depth with making sure you feel like
you're in it.
And... like, it was quasi-ruined the first time through because the cast did have to break character basically to everyone.
To get off, right? But it was cool to go see the backstage area.
It was cool to see backstage. I love when that happens. But then when we went back through, and, like, you've got a... You posted an Instagram about it earlier with the Imperial officer who was basically staring at you like, what is this? Yes. What are you doing? You're wearing ears. And he's like, what are these radar dishes on your head?
Well, and I was wearing Muppet ears, too. I had my Kermit and my
Piggy ones. Oh, you guys had a whole conversation about what planet those are from.
What planet are you from? And I was like, Muppets. And he's like, is that where the rebel secret base is?
It's so great when they can when they interact like that. You so feel good. Like you're in like the actual universe. There
when I went on the first time, the cast member I think it was the same one because he looked very similar to me.
Fair.
And he was saying stuff like, before we went into the room where you could see the after you go and you see all of the officers or whatever, and he was like, don't touch the wall. If you touch the wall, you go to jail or something like that. You go to prison. If you do this, you go to prison. If you do that, you know, and
typical like, Imperial.
But it was really good. Like the way he was like, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. What do you want me to do? You want me to cut your fingers off? Like he was like just so good.
You gotta be in the zone with that stuff, man.
And I feel like it helps with the whole process.
Well,
like,
of course, you're supposed to. Yeah, exactly. I'm not gonna spoil the ride, but yeah, exactly.
I'm always amazed on Rise when it like. Because you just, I feel like you are transported. Like, you forget how big that area is.
It's huge.
Because you only see, like, the entrance from the outside. And then all of a sudden, it's like, where did they put all the things?
It's so deep, that area there. It's nuts. Right.
Where did all the things go? Exactly. But we do all of these things. So, I just love it.
And I highly recommend everyone try, if you can get a reservation, try August Cantina.
Right, that was
the atmosphere in there is really awesome.
We did do that was good.
Yeah, that was good.
We had to get a 9 o'clock reservation, so...
Right, it was early, but there was a bunch of other people in there, too, so it's not like we were the only people in there. Like, it's 9 in the morning, let's go to drink at August Cantina.
But even if you don't drink...
It's like, still a great atmosphere.
We had some non-alcoholic stuff to try it out.
Which was really good.
They were really good.
And, like, surprisingly, you read it off the menu and go, really? I don't know, but then you see it. Like, someone across the table from it, because, by the way, they see... Bunch of not just random people around.
Depending on how you sit, it's very small. And they will if you have a small party, so we only have two people.
Well,
so
it feels like a typical bar that you would go to in a metro area where
but
you're
not
gonna sit by
yourself. If you're not comfortable with that, then you know it's definitely keep that in mind. If you're not comfortable with small spaces having to share, you know, you may not want that. You also sometimes you can get something at the bar. We weren't at the bar; we were at a table.
It's random, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it was funny. But
it was also a fun experience.
You're also in there very, like,
what'd they say, 45 minutes to an hour or something?
Only
like
45
minutes.
They kick you out. And the food, there's just little bites and stuff.
We did see the plate. We didn't get it, but we saw the plate. And
we saw the reactions of the people eating it.
Yeah, it was like, whatever.
But yeah, so the...
Star Wars, definitely enjoyable. Ronto Roasters, great lunch.
Well, yeah. You're just kind of skipping ahead of things now.
Well, you said we didn't want to go through every minute of the day.
You're still going through every minute of every day.
I skipped ahead.
Yes. I was having questions for
you.
All
right, what questions do you have? Go ahead. What questions you got?
Well, now you just jump in. I don't know. I don't know anymore.
You said you had questions.
Well, you're
this?
Just kind of listing everything we did. I was trying to have a discussion with you.
What do you want to discuss?
Well, so now I'm going to jump ahead. So you rode Rise.
Yeah.
The other ride you rode for the first time.
This is what I was going to do, but then you're doing this stuff, whatever.
What are you talking about?
Anyways, continue.
I don't understand. So in our last show, we did this or that.
Yeah.
So now first, you rode. What was the ride? You got to ride Guardians in Epcot on the same day, which is awesome. How did you feel about Guardians of the Galaxy's Cosmic Rewind in Epcot?
Well, first of all, being like a big Marvel fan, obviously, this is the first I think it's the first Marvel-related one in Disney World overall.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the fact that it was finished when we went there, well, it was finished back when you went in June too, but...
Yes.
Was not finished in February when I went. It was amazing to ride. I knew about the song selection thing. Not that you could choose it, but that it's completely random. And so the ride itself is really, really awesome. And it's not just like your typical indoor coaster. Like your individual like cards actually turn and stuff. But it's nothing like, I would call it vomit inducing. Or what was the one lady
people...
in line was like motion sickness.
Well,
like,
yeah, there are some people who have motion sickness, and so if that is the case, there I have heard from people. So you do spin and all that, and it could upset you. So it's just a matter of knowing your own. Like, right. Neither of us have motion sickness issues. So, you know, right. For us, it was fine.
But, like, having done both of those new rides for me in the same day, like, finally getting through Rise.
Because it broke other time we were there, too.
Rise is great because from beginning to end, you feel like you're in the Star Wars universe. Guardians, when you're in the queue, we're only in there for a little bit in the lightning lane. There's, like, the little central area that discusses how Terrans, which are Earthlings, and the Xandarians are Epcotarians. But, so while I would give the style points for, what was the word I just used? For feeling in the, like, universe. Immersed, thank you. For feeling immersed in the universe definitely goes to Rise. However, in terms of actual thrill, Guardians takes it easily.
Right.
Because it's a coaster, number one. It feels super, like, the dialogue is hilarious from beginning to end. And having watched the YouTube video of, like, when you get delayed and it's Terry Crews again popping up to basically be like, oh no, like, you're delayed, whatever. But, like, and this isn't a hit on Rise. Rise is a great ride, but it doesn't change from beginning to end. It's the same thing. The story for Guardians also doesn't change. However, the fact that you have no clue what song you're going to get while you're doing the ride kind of adds that extra element of, like, which one's it going to be? Yeah. Which it wasn't different. It was still September by Earth, Wind, and Fire both times we did it. However, it's still a good song.
That shows just how good it was is that we went on it twice.
Right, exactly. But, like, the concept of just, like, saying, and I'm sure this is in forums all over the place, of, like, oh, is everyone, who? Someone's probably gotten all of them because you've ridden it enough times. Someone has to have gotten them all. But, like, to me, it's a ride that I haven't seen break down or seen issues of it breaking down as often as Rise has with all of its complexities, which that's just, it happens. It's complex. It's a complex ride. But, like, they're both great rides, and they're not really the same category of rides, so it's not really, you can't really say, like, you know, which one do you choose? But, like, as new rides, ones that I've tried, I would go on Guardians again over Rise.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like the atmosphere.
I think the other thing, too, was that it is much easier to get on to Guardians. Now, we didn't do the virtual queue. The virtual queue is a pain and very hard to do.
You might not get on it.
Right, because that's what happened to me that other time was that we didn't, our virtual queue never got called.
Yep.
But we paid for both of those rides. We paid the additional, and it's a lot easier. Like, Rise was gone in a second. But always Guardians was, you know, even at, like, 10 o'clock, they still had some availability.
There's still times left, yeah.
So I feel like it's a lot easier to get on, so if you want to do it again.
Yeah.
Which I enjoy. I think it's a great ride, too. Well, so, okay, so now you wrote Guardians, which is Rise, which is a trackless coaster.
Correct.
So comparing it to Mickey and Minnie, which is also a trackless coaster. Mm-hmm. So forget about the immersion part, like the pre-show, even though there is a pre-show with Mickey and Minnie. So let's talk about just the mechanics of the ride.
Okay.
Which would you pick?
So if you're talking about just the mechanics of the ride, I'd go Rise again because Mickey and Minnie's is a lot of, like, call it jerky kind of movement, like moving around, but you're on the same, like, level and stuff like that. But there was once, maybe twice, in Rise where you feel like you're dropping. I'm trying not to give away story.
Well, they put you into this place where you actually feels like you're falling versus with
Minnie and Mickey's is just straight.
Yeah, you're going into different rooms and you're experiencing different things, but then with Rise, you're actually getting kind of in what feels like a screen and you fall down, kind of like that 4D.
Well, let me also just say, like, so when you're, like, Mickey and Minnie's is fun. However, it's really hard to one-up a ride that your little vehicle goes into what's supposed to be an elevator on a Star Destroyer, and then a lightsaber just kind of pops through the ceiling. It's really hard to top that.
That's true.
Really hard to top that. So, like, in terms of the trackless coasters that Disney has, Rise is my top, Mickey and Minnie's number two, Remy has to slide in at number three.
Oh, so that's the other thing. We did ride Remy again.
Finally, because it was broken the first day.
Yes, so.
Which, minor side note, so we lightning laned Remy for like 7 o'clock at night, but got there, and it was closed. They had technical difficulties. Epcot closes at 9. Yeah, 9 generally. So by like 8:15, it was still shut down. You're like, well, at this point. But all we did was just go to guest services, and they're like, all right, we'll just give you a lightning lane for tomorrow. Like, oh.
Yeah. So it's a big great. Advantage if anything ever happens, just be nice. Go yes. to guest services, usually at the front of the park, or sometimes there's these blue umbrellas through the park.
Yep.
And just be really nice.
Absolutely.
If you go in and you're mean, then, you know, I don't know if you're going to get anything.
And the thing that you and I discussed, by the way, tried La Creperie.
Yes.
Over there, because great food, which we did before we actually got on to Remy, which is why I brought it up. We did Remy, we got off, we discussed it. And the one thing that you and I were on the same page about with that ride and why it's number 3 on the list of the trackless ones is because the story is just like, huh?
Well, we
like,
had this discussion last time. The story doesn't make any sense.
Well, because it feels like it's a combination. It feels like they took the movie and they condensed it down to you are one of the rats from Remy's giant family. And he's still playing the part of like wanting to be a chef and all that. But you guys do what he does in the movie. You fall into the restaurant, but then time kind of skips forward because it seems like Linguini already knows that Remy's part of the whole deal.
Well, no, but if you listen to the story, they're saying you're going to Remy's restaurant.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and he's coming to prepare. What should he prepare for you?
But why did we have to go through Gusto's?
Right, and then you go through the restaurant. It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's very weird, yeah.
I wish that it had been more of either they're retelling the movie, like they do with Little Mermaid I mentioned last time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Where it's just a retelling of the movie, or it's like a post-movie kind of thing. You know, and he falls into a restaurant or something. He's like, you know, that's
like someone
fun.
Else's restaurant or something.
You know,
like that,
I liked the, you know, that you the smells, like all that stuff that they put in. So it smells like you're in fresh baked bread and the heat from the oven. It's really cool.
That part of it, but, feeling in the moment, yeah.
I dislike having to wear the 3D glasses.
Right, I forgot about
which
that.
Which is really hard when you have kids who are not good with them.
Who don't really understand.
Or anybody with sensory issues. Yep. So it's just, it's hard.
Right.
And then you're not really seeing anything. And the story doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yep.
So that bothers me. And it's so short. For the amount of time that you have to wait on that ride, typically. Like, we lightning leaned it. And I'm glad you don't have to pay for it additionally anymore. But we lightning leaned
it. Oh, that's right. It used to be, yeah, yeah.
But for the amount of time that you the wait was ridiculous. It was longer.
It was always at least 60 minutes.
Yeah, and it was longer than Frozen. And I think Frozen is a much better ride. I think Frozen has a lot more to it. And Frozen is in between. I think it's in between the two movies because it was made before the second movie. But you could still see it and not have a problem with the fact that it's a, you know, you're going to go see Queen Elsa and all that. Mm-hmm. It's fine. And it's still a good ride. It's fun. It's even though they just kind of put a mask on a previous ride, it's still fun.
whatever the old Norway ride used to be. No offense, Norway.
But it's still a fun ride, and the queue is really cool, yes. And the story is really cool. I love Ratatouille, and I was just so disappointed by it.
They did up the area very nicely to look like the section of Paris that Gusto's is in.
I will say that.
That
beautiful.
Part's great. The fact that they have a photographer there to do photos by the fountain with Gusto's in the background, that's great.
Yes.
And again, I will give positive marks again to the restaurant, the Creperie. The
Crepes. Oh, that place
was amazing.
Great. Oh.
That was good.
The prefix menu was so worth it.
That was great. Definitely do the prefix menu.
And even with kids, I think it's not bad.
You can do it with kids easily.
Because it's,
and there's options for,
there's a whole kids menu.
Yeah.
And they have like savory crepes and sweet crepes, like dessert crepes and all of that.
Yeah.
And the kids one was like, kind of more standard.
Like
ham and cheese and stuff like that. It was so good. And
yes.
I'm glad we did, because we were debating what we were going to do for dinner then. And it wasn't crowded. You know,
well,
we went at like a high prime dinner time.
We made a reservation because we thought we needed to. I parked myself outside of it because you had to use the bathroom. And I watched a family of 5 walk up and they looked at the menu and were like, oh, let's go ask. They asked and the hostess was like, oh yeah, we have space. And I thought, oh, well, shoot, we don't even need to wait for whatever time. Let's just, as soon as you got back, we just kind of went in because they clearly had space.
What I like about restaurants like that are not the character restaurants, not that I dislike character restaurants, is that we kind of felt like because there wasn't a lot of people, we could take our time.
Yeah,
so we ordered a drink and then we had a salad and then we had, you know, we didn't have to rush,
mm-hmm.
which I feel like, and sometimes you feel, not that you have to rush, no one's going to kick you out, but sometimes you feel like it. So, like, when you're at, like, Guardian Grill, even, when they give you the family-style stuff, yeah. and the characters have come by, and they're like, okay, you know, they don't rush you, they're not rude.
Yeah.
But, you know, and maybe it's different because we weren't with the kids, and we had that luxury of being able to
sit
and enjoy the food.
Absolutely.
When you're with kids, you have maybe 30 to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm really glad we tried out some new food places.
Rose and Crown is very good.
Yes, we went to Rose and Crown, which was so good. We didn't do it the same day, though.
No, but I was just bringing it up because it's the same park, so.
So we tried out a couple of different restaurants. So what was your favorite restaurant that we tried?
Ooh, tough one.
So I think it was Toledo's.
Toledo's,
Crepery, we tried. And Rosencrown.
Rosencrown. Was there another one in there?
I think those were the main ones that we tried.
Well, we kind of, like, the last night, the Monday night, we stopped by, oh no.
That doesn't really count. That was quick service. I'm talking about sit-down.
You're right. That was quick service. So in terms of sit-down, I think the way I would rate it, so I really, really liked the bangers and mash I had at Rose and Crown.
Yes, you were a big fan.
And the fish and chips, like, if you get the bake on the fish and chips right, to where it's a crunchy, like, crust, it's awesome, which is what yours was.
Yeah.
I would put Le Creperie second,
mm-hmm.
probably. Toledo was good, but I feel like sometimes your brain can get overloaded when there's too many options to look at. And so, like, we were picking and choosing the list, and maybe it was, I don't want to say it was jet lag, it was only a 2.5 hour flight, but it just kind of felt like, you know, we picked, a lot of the stuff we picked was really good, nothing was, like, disgusting or anything, but maybe we picked too much stuff. Oh, there was, like, the little snafu where we had said we ordered X, whatever it was, and then we got something else showed up, and they still brought X out later, and it was like, oh, maybe this was too much food.
Well, I think the food was great, and I think it was a really good restaurant. I think that the challenge between all of the three and comparing them is that Toledo's was very loud and very busy.
It was, yeah.
And we were in, like, a two-person table next to, really close to other
people.
You're
pretty packed in, yeah.
It reminds me of being, like, in a New York City restaurant.
Yes.
Where with Le Creperie, there was no one there. It was very quiet.
It felt much more relaxed. And Rosencrown was busy, but...
Yeah, but Rosencrown was more the atmosphere, even though it was, like, a pub... atmosphere. It did, and we were kind of in a center table, a little awkward. It didn't feel weird.
Well, you know, I kind of like was having like quasi flashbacks to
Ireland.
To Ireland and their pub set. And the pub settings are basically kind of the same there. You got all the people standing up at the actual pub bar itself. You got people seated at the tables, but nothing ever felt like, all right, let's go, let's get out. It was more like, no, you want to like chill, just chill.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. And you're like, yes, this is great. Feel mm-hmm. like you're not like rushed out of something, you know? So yeah, the new food we tried was great.
So
yeah.
So okay, so now since you know we've been talking for a little while, I'm curious, what would you do differently if we did another adult only trip? What would you do differently?
Honestly, and I think I mentioned this on the flight home or on the car ride home, whatever. Coronado was great. I think I would either put a little more money towards a different like hotel, or I would like drop some money off and even do like a Pop Century one just to have the Skyliner access.
Ironically, that's what we were debating, right?
Yeah.
Because we were debating Coronado or Pop, mm-hmm. and Coronado was $100 more, something like that. So we're like, let's try it because we haven't tried it.
Yes, absolutely.
But yeah, I agree. Not having the Skyliner was hard because it just, you know, the convenience of being able to get to at least two parks easily. I missed that.
Here's the analogy I have because this is something that coworkers from a former job of yours brought up and you mentioned it to me, which actually isn't untrue. So when we went on our honeymoon, we went on the cruise, we had a room with a balcony. And you mentioned to me that some of your coworkers said, oh, that's not the way you should do your first cruise because then you'll be spoiled by the fact you've got a balcony and you'll never want to do an inside room. And so the Skyliner is kind of the same. Once you've stayed at a property that's got that and the buses, if you stay at a place that has just buses, you're going to go,
this
is terrible. What?
That's how I feel now about Yacht Club because now I've been able to walk to Epcot.
And you took me past it. I'm like, oh, this is nuts. Like, it's legitimately... It's right there. Like, if you don't start counting time until you walk out of the doors of Yacht Club, it's almost less than 5 minutes to the International Gateway. Right. It's nuts
Yeah.
how close you are. But that's just kind of how it works, right? Like, you could say the same thing about, like, Atlantic City. If you've ever stayed on the boardwalk, you're never going to want to stay off the boardwalk because of all the randomness that happens on the boardwalk. It's the same concept.
Yeah.
You can go anywhere. Like, Nashville, if you don't stay downtown.
Yeah, because we didn't stay downtown that one time, and it was really hard to get.
Right, it was a taxi everywhere. But then, like, you stay downtown, you're right amidst all the action. Yeah, you know what I mean? Sure.
Well, and I agree with that. I think for me, yeah, I would definitely go back to a Skyliner, like a different resort, a Skyliner resort, or walking to Epcot or Hollywood Studios, or even a monorail resort would be nice too. Because we did spend a good amount of time in Magic Kingdom over there too.
Surprisingly, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would say, I think we talked about this, is I would have another day. It was too short. It was definitely too short.
This is what happens with spur of the moment trips.
And we did 3 parks each day. Which was great. I'm so glad we did all of that and we got a lot in, but we never really took a break, which is the exact opposite of what we said. I think if we didn't have the flights we had, it would have been a lot better.
If the flight on Tuesday wasn't
6 o'clock in the morning,
it needed to be there by 6. Yeah. If it wasn't 8 in the morning,
that was so hard trying to get up after being at Magic Kingdom until close and then getting up at.
That was 5. Our mistake. Oh my gosh. Was staying at Magic Kingdom so late. We didn't need to do that.
It's never a mistake to stay late.
No, I disagree with that.
You can sleep when you're dead.
Yeah, but listen, trying to function on a flight, like, as adults was fine.
Right. If we were with the kids, it would have been... That's the other thing.
Different story,
with the kids, we did stay late at Magic Kingdom once, but they were sleeping.
Right.
So we've never really been... We got to go on stuff. We got to enjoy post-firework time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't regret doing that at all. Yeah, we were tired, but what are you going to do?
I will say, so if you are like us and you wear like a Fitbit or any sort of like step tracker, you'll easily hit 10,000. You'll easily hit 20,000 steps.
We're at 30,000, definitely.
Well, that was my point I was going to make was, I think, like, looking back at the trip, like, I went and played golf. I knocked Florida off of my state list, which was fine. However, now looking back and seeing how short of a trip it was, I probably made an error doing that, because in order to make sure that I wasn't just wasting the entire day, because you can stick behind people, whatever, I went and did it at 6:50 in the morning.
Well, that was also good because it was getting really hot.
Well, really hot too. It was already humid and you woke up. Right. When I walked from Ranchos to Grand Casino Tower, which was great, by the way, no one was up. You just hear the peaceful, like nature, basically. But it was already humid and all that. So, in retrospect, if I could redo it, I would have just saved the Florida golf round off my 50 state list for another time, A, when it's not as hot and humid, and also when I've got more time there, because I basically woke up at 5 that morning and didn't go to bed until 11, 12 o'clock that night, which I'm not young anymore. I'm not young ancient, either. But I'm not young either. So, not to mention the fact that I completely botched the whole getting back from the course to Coronado to shower. But, I think that's one thing I would have changed with the trip was, because I kept waffling about it before the trip, was, do I really need to do this golf thing now?
You liked it a lot. You had a good time.
I did have a good time. I did enjoy it. But there's always that part of my brain that's like, yeah, but you were kind of stupid for packing so much stuff into such a short amount of time.
But to be honest with all of that, what was not, I mean, for me, was that I slept in until after 7, and I woke up.
Still got Guardians.
That's what I'm saying.
Day.
So it was so easy to get Guardians for that day. But I slept in, I got a little work done because I had to get some stuff done, and then I hung out at the pool, and then I went to Epcot by myself, but I went later. And so what I thought was really nice about the first day was that we did so much. We got done. We knocked off a bunch of stuff off our list.
We did a lot.
That first day, we went to everywhere except Animal Kingdom. We did it the second day.
Yeah.
And it allowed me to, just take a breath in Epcot. And I walked around by myself and kind of went into all of the places I wanted to check out. I went shopping. I got a really good coffee and walked around the world. And when I got there were so many people.
Epcot
and all... In the front, everybody was going on all the rides in the front, or they were hanging out by Frozen. Well, actually, no, they weren't hanging out. They were hanging out on the ride for Frozen, but at one point, I told you this, there was, Anna and Elsa were doing a character meet and greet, was 20 minutes, and there was a family going, that's too long, I'm going to go on a ride instead. And I was like, it's 20 minutes to meet Anna and Elsa.
I would have done 20 minutes.
Right? So I liked that part of it because I feel like that's the big thing is like taking time to just kind of see what's there. We got to experience some brand new things. Like we walked into the American Pavilion and we got to see the a cappella group.
The Voices of Liberty. Yeah, that was so random, but it was awesome.
Yeah, it was so good. I watched the show
in Reflections
of China, which was really good. I will say that it does, if you have motion sickness, it might upset you because it's a 360 theater and every screen is moving. So it kind of feels like you're moving too. It was nice to just like be able to do all of these things and not have to worry about putting a stroller somewhere and, you know, because the kids want to do this and da, da, da. I just got to kind of be by myself in Epcot and that was a lot of fun to me. While you're sweating on a golf course.
I will say that at most golf courses local to us here, when you sign up as a single player, they throw you in with a group and you generally have to get in a cart with random people, which I've never had an issue with. They've always been friendly people. At this one, they said, no, this cart's yours. There's no one else. And I'm like, all right, awesome. Because they give you towels and stuff. I'm like, those are both mine. I'm going to need those. It's sweaty. But to your point about you went to solve Reflections of China, we walked into the big, call it like capital size building of America. And like we're looking at the history and stuff. And then the Voices of Liberty came out. Right. Like, oh, this is awesome.
And they were so talented.
They were amazing. And these are the things that we don't normally see. Because when we're going around with the kids in Epcot, it's like, there's Frozen over there. We've got Figment over in Future World and all this. But there's so many areas where, like, you can do the loop and never see, like, some of the extended areas. Like, even Italy, despite everyone we talked about Italy was like, Italy, whatever.
That's good, they were saying.
But we wandered back into it, and there was a whole little shop with, like, Venetian masks, where one of the things you do for, I think it said the minimum was, like, 30. You would buy the mask, they'd give you
the kit to paint it,
which is awesome.
Well, and that's what I was saying. Well, I think we were talking about it, or one of these episodes, you were mentioning, Epcot's kind of educational. But even that stuff, like you talked about with the Voice of Liberty, the Reflections of China, all that stuff, the kids would actually enjoy it.
They would.
So we haven't stopped enough to be like, let's go check out something else. And they were all air conditioned. So we got to be inside a lot at Epcot versus like if you hang out and go wait for 40 minutes for Spaceship Earth, which I love Spaceship Earth, but not for 40 minutes. Because the lines all in the front are crazy, but the World Showcase is, you know, not as many people are doing all of those
There's
things.
So much. You can get lost
we
so easily.
We went on Awesome Planet also in Living in the Land. There was no wait, and it was actually pretty
Which is basically, it's Ty Burrell doing the voice, but it's basically Phil from Modern Family.
Yeah. But I
Which
think
is hilarious.
But it's the same in any place we went. Like, I mean, I think we walked around Animal Kingdom and just kind of tried things out. And we went on different rides that we wouldn't have normally gone with the kids. And
Which is good to do to test to see whether the kids would actually like it or come off of it really upset,
But you're actually, like, seeing things. Like, you get to experience things and take a breath and look at, like, just look at all the new things that are there and... Well, you know, during fireworks at Magic Kingdom, we didn't go to the fireworks. We went on some rides and we walked around.
We watched the fireworks from the People
which
Mover.
Which was the best. I love watching it from the People Mover.
By the way, the People Mover audio, we noticed, was updated.
Oh, right.
Which is awesome. Which is also a really bad tease because you see it and they've got all the facades outside done, it looks like. And they've got the audio for People Mover. So you're just looking going, so when are you opening? When are you opening? Nothing. There's no information about that at all. It's just, we're making progress. I'm like, come on.
I know. Maybe when we go back in April or when we go back before that, as we're now planning
trip. I would assume by April they would definitely have information about when it's opening. But I would assume by then, because you know what's been closed for like...
The train.
I read about that, actually.
The train was closed when we went with the kids before the pandemic.
I was curious for the longest time. This is a little sidebar. I was curious for the longest time why that was the case. Because literally that section right there by Tron is the only section that's being affected for the train. I'm like, they couldn't figure this out? Here's why. Because they want you to feel like when you're on Tron, you're on Tron. There's no random train, like old school train coming through. They had to build a tunnel so that the train going under it, it's going to go under the Tron area there. You can't see the train ever at all. So that way it's completely out of focus. And when you're in Tron, you're in Tron.
I hope it's not dark in the tunnel. I hope they have like lights or something, because that's really scary.
I think there's lights on the train itself, because at that night it still runs.
No, I know, but the park is never that real dark. But we're on People Mover, and it gets to that part where you're in Spaceship Earth, or not?
It's dark in there. No, Space Mountain. Space Mountain.
When you get to that part, like Gregory gets scared.
Well, it's dark in there, and it slows down and stuff.
I put my flashlight on my phone because he's nervous about it, and he doesn't like the dark. So
yeah.
I think, you know, for such a kid-friendly thing that with the train, I hope that they have lights or something that's in there, because I don't think he's gonna like it then.
Probably not.
Yeah.
That was a great walk on, by the way. Walked on a People Mover.
Oh yeah. You should always wait
10 minutes.
You should always be able to walk on a People Mover. I don't wait in lines. I'm not doing that.
No, I know that. Well, the best was
walking onto Buzz.
You just walked right onto it. It said 10 minutes. Right? That's not bad. Let's go. And then they were just like, no, go ahead.
Yeah. Just and then we walked onto Pirates right after that, didn't we?
Basically, yeah. Yeah. I don't think any of the actual displays that tell you the times can use zero. I think it has to be some sort of measure of time, like whether it's 5 or 10 minutes.
Well, and Haunted Mansion is 13 minutes.
I love that. That's great. That's
great, right? Okay, so what was your... So we talked about what you would change.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite part, I guess?
Me being me, I loved the fact that... It's kind of a downside, too.
What?
No. No, hear me out. I loved the golf. Because it's literally one of the best golf courses I've ever played on in terms of...
Which golf course?
The Lake Buena Vista golf course. Not only was it in great condition, considering it's always humid and like damp and stuff like that, the staff were amazing. Everyone I interacted with was super... It's a
Disney golf course,
It's a Disney golf course, yeah. Everyone was super friendly. Everything is Disney-fied, so like each cart has like a number on it normally so that the starters know who's who. It's emblazoned with the Mickey on it. The front of my cart had Pete with like a golf getup on. The downside I'm going to mention was I thought the sleeves of golf balls they gave you for rental with the rental clubs were Mickey. They weren't. They were just like...
Well, and you rent... That's a good point. So you rented everything. It wasn't that expensive, you said.
The rental clubs are $49, which honestly was basically like testing the newest tech in the golf world. The rental shoes were $10, which were great.
Which was nice that we didn't have to pack all that stuff.
Exactly.
Though you could if you wanted to
rent it. I could have, but that would have been... But the best part about all that was you play on some golf courses and you feel like you're in the middle of nowhere. This one...
Especially
like,
here.
especially up here in like the Sticks. Yeah, the Sticks country of... But down there, like you start off, you can see Disney Springs in the background. You get to hole three, you're playing along. There's a sign that says Old Key West. Sorry, there's a couple balls in there somewhere. It was me. If it woke you up, sorry.
Oh my gosh.
Old Key West. I texted you at one point. I could see Port Orleans from across the river on one of the holes. Like,
was it Riverside or was it French Quarter? You're not sure.
It's French Quarter.
Oh, nice.
I recognized it was French Quarter because I saw the dragon thing. Moving. Yeah, I know. But everything about it was such a great experience and it was so worth the money to play there. Knock on wood, I've yet to play with a group that's been a bunch of like jerks.
That's good.
Everyone I've played with has always been like super friendly. Like, the guys I played with were playing from the seniors' tees, and they said, listen, play from whatever tees you want. We're not going to judge you, but if you hate, like, crap, don't worry. We'll tell you.
Did you just put an accent on that?
One of them had a little bit of a southern accent on him.
That was a terrible southern. You're from Virginia.
That's not really the south. But I would definitely do it again. I would definitely try one of the other courses again. One of them was under refurbishment, so it wasn't available. But I think, like...
So you're going to do it in April?
I might do it in April, but it depends.
Then I get a day off without the kids,
That's
too.
Kind of the point. Yeah. But yeah, I think like the opportunity to be able to do that, because with the kids, that's much harder.
Right.
So to be able to do that, to like not only knock Florida off of my list of 50 states to play in, but also just because everything was Disney-fied, but it was so well kept.
Well, that's the big thing everything with the customer service and the hospitality of Disney.
Yes.
That's why I love staying... like. I love staying on Disney property. One of the reasons is because of how incredible the cast members are.
Everyone.
Even when you stay at what's called the Value Resorts, like I stood at All Stars Sports the last time. It's one of the, people will call it, it's one of the quote-unquote rundown ones. It's still Disney property. Everybody's so nice. Even if the room is not refurbished, it's still a good room. It's better than going when you go to like a very, like a $20 motel or something. You know, it's not like to that caliber.
Yeah.
And everything's well maintained. The pools are good. You're going to, even if you stay, and I say even in quotes or whatever, at what's called the Value, you're still going to get a really great resort. Obviously, the deluxe ones are going to be gorgeous and wonderful. And that was a great thing about Coronado, was that it was kind of like testing out a deluxe feel.
Deluxe feel, but moderate, technically, prices, right?
Yeah, because it was cheaper than like Caribbean. It wasn't cheaper than French Quarter, though, I don't think.
That's weird.
I think it was about, maybe French Quarter was cheaper. I can't remember now.
Maybe they were on like even levels or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I would say for me, favorite thing. I think it goes back to like that fact that we were able, like what I was saying before was like I got to like slow down a little bit without, you know. And I think we need to do that with the kids. We say we're going to do it, and we do it sometimes, we do. But then Abby's at an age where she's like, go, 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 go. And what we did really well was stacking our lightning lanes.
Yes.
Because I'm not waiting in line, and I'm definitely not doing it with the kids. So, no. So I think what I learned from this trip a lot was that being able to slow down and book your afternoon up so that you never have to really worry.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't go on any, you know, we didn't ride Slinky Dog Dash because we didn't get a lightning lane and because there was a long line. So being in that mindset was really nice for me, where I was like, well, I'm not going to ride that because we rode a Flight of Passage because I was like, hey, there's a lightning lane. Let's just do it.
Yeah, we just grabbed a random lightning lane.
So for me, that was nice. Not really caring, you know, like, let's just get something. Like, obviously, we cared about a couple things like Rise of Guardians, but, you know, if we didn't ride everything, we weren't disappointed.
Right.
So that was nice to me. And I think we, you know, it's really picking and choosing what you really want to do. Like, what's the top three things you want to do? Whether it's particular attractions, particular restaurants, or one of the enchantment extras, like a dessert party or
a character
meal or something like that.
Absolutely.
And then doing those things, those three things, but then kind of going with the flow the rest of the time. And being like, okay, we did this, we didn't do this, you know? So that to me is really cool. And just exploring the areas. I think that's fun too.
Oh, and that's like, now that I have, which we still have to search for somewhere in this house, the rest of the pins.
Oh,
now
yes, that we did the pin trading back, this time.
Because I do remember, like, because again, we went in March 2020 before everything shut down. And then, like, we came back and everything shut down. And one of the things that disappeared was pin trading for a while, because it's random. It's all over. Like, I was looking while we were there. I'm like, there's one there. And it's just literally, like, cast members who are working registers for... like,
well, and then
various
they were
retail
just
places
outside in random places too. I would see them.
Well, there was where did we go? It was in the France section. We went deeper into France. There's like a whole bakery back there that we had no clue was there, and there's a little like shop there, and it's one of the, it's like a kids outpost or something like that.
Oh, the Kidscot.
Thank you. Yeah,
Kidscot is the so in Epcot you get like a passport kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like stickers,
and
right?
It's like stickers. And then when you complete it, you get like a prize.
Yeah.
So there's a very similar thing for drinking around, or eating, excuse me, around the world, where you go to, you get like, I don't remember the number, but you get a certain amount of things. When you go to different booths, or you can visit the same booth,
yeah,
you get seven things or whatever. And then you get a prize at the end, which I believe is more food.
Of course.
Or a cookie or something. I can't remember.
Oh, yeah. But that was great to see back, because we had a bunch of pins already, and then as we went along, we bought a whole bunch of pins, and my lanyard now has three different Oswalds on it.
Oh, yes. You are obsessed.
Yep. There's a giant Zero pin on there that you found, and that's the great part about it.
I can't believe you almost didn't get it.
The Zero pin?
You were like, oh, I don't know. I'm like, what?
Well, no, that was your choice.
It was not my choice.
Because that's where I got the Coronado Springs one, was the same spot. You just happened to find it, and we're like, dude, look at this.
No, we bought it because of the discount. Because we had to spend a certain amount of money to get the discount.
Oh, yeah, it pushed it over the discount.
I was like, we need to spend $5 more on picking this.
But that was the great part, because when you go from... like, obviously, like each retail place is going to have things that are probably the most popular at the time, right? Guaranteed, you go through a lot of these retail stores, you're not going to find Oswald pins to buy. They're just not really there. I didn't see any.
Right.
And trust me, I was looking. So we had the one from the pack that you already had. And then I forget where the first one was on the Sunday, the first day, full day we were there. I'm like, oh, look at this Oswald pen. So we switched something for it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was. Then the second day, we found a completely different one. It was the same looking style with the hidden Mickey on it.
We didn't have an Oswald pin in advance. You traded for all of them.
Did I trade for
that
one too?
Yeah. I found one and I called you over to be like, there's another Oswald and you don't have this one.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which the kids are confused by. They're like, who's Oswald? Like, don't worry, you won't know who this is.
I think that'll be fun to do with him the next time. I think Abby will be into it. Gregory, I'm not sure.
Gregory might be, but he's at that age where he might not understand the concept that you can't just take the pins.
Well, he also may not want to give up his pins. He's very protective of his
pins. He is very protective of his stuff. So, yeah, I think it depends on what the starter set is you get. If it's a starter set that he's super into, defeats the whole purpose. Right. But
yeah, so that's, I think that was a really great thing for us, was to try new things that we wouldn't necessarily do with the kids. But what I do love is that every time we were doing something, we were like, oh, the kids would love this. I remember like when we looked at the room, we're like, the kids would love the Three Cup of Heroes, or when we did this ride, or when we did this restaurant, the kids would love this, or what would the kids think, and all this. So even though we didn't take the kids, we were talking about them.
Well, it's hard to not be in that mindset, you know?
Yeah. So I think it helps with that aspect too, of kind of having a better idea of like what we can do as adults only, but then also like park hopping. We'd never park hop with the kids, but now that we've done it, we're kind of like, maybe we should be doing it with the kids, especially when we don't have a stroller anymore. I think it would be
majorly easier.
Well, yeah, because without the double, side by side double stroller, we can easily go on things, you know, and without any stroller. I don't know if we're at a point yet to not have a stroller, hopefully soon.
That'd be nice.
And then I think park hopping, I think the kids would really enjoy it.
Well, yeah, because then you could just be like, hey, kids, guess what?
There's no rides here, so we're going to go over there. Like, that's my big thing, was that one of the reasons we hopped was because, well, there's nothing here that we want. Let's just hop to another park because I can get this, this, and this.
Well, that's the advantage of Lightning Lane, individual Lightning Lane.
Because I don't want mine.
That's my point, though, is that you can kind of plan, like, that first day we had planned out, like, we did the Hollywood Studios stuff we wanted to do and then jumped to Epcot.
I don't think it's worth to get a park hopper if you're not planning to get to either buy individual Lightning Lanes or buy Genie Plus.
Right, if you're just going to go about, like, you don't care about waiting in lines and stuff, then park hopper's not worth it.
Because you're going to wait in line for an hour. So
for a lot of stuff, yeah, definitely.
All right, well, so any closing thoughts on our adult-only trip?
Wish it had been longer.
Mm-hmm, yes. But I'm glad we did it. I had a great time. I know we're already trying to figure out how we do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I did miss the kids. You know, like, we didn't ride Tower of Terror because I couldn't ride it without Abby.
Well, plus we kind of picked Aerosmith anyways.
But even so, when we were picking, I was like, because I love, Tower of Terror is one of my favorite rides, and it's nostalgic for me because I went on with my dad and all those things.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's Abby's favorite ride, and I remember going on with her, and she goes on every time. But so I didn't do that, and I think we skipped some rides that, like, we didn't do Alien Swirling Saucer because it's Gregory's ride and I just can't do it without him. It's just him on it makes it. So I did miss the kids in certain ways. I'm glad we did this and we got to experience like restaurants we would have never done and other things that we wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we went, but I am really excited to go back with the kids, especially because I feel like, because we go every year with the kids, you get to see the changes in them and how, you know, from when Gregory first went and he wasn't one yet. And
he couldn't walk.
He couldn't walk, and his eye, all you could, he didn't really talk, you know, so it was just like what he saw around him and his eyes lighting up when he saw Mickey Mouse to like now where he is playing pretend and he's talking and he's remembering things. So it's just, it's very interesting to see how it changes year after year with them. So I'm very excited to see what this trip will be with a 6 and 4 year old if we go in April, or 5 and 3 year old if we go before, because we're talking about that now. So I'm very excited to see what it'll entail in the next chapter kind of stuff. So
most definitely,
All right, well, I think that's a good way to end. So thank you for joining us. If you are looking for any more tips or tricks, be sure to check us out on unlockingadventures.com. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and thanks for joining.
Peace out, Cub Scouts.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You're so weird.
Yep.